Well, Merry Christmas. How exciting is it to be together and hear such amazing words, songs. It's just fantastic to be part of it. We do this each year, but I'm going to do it with a little bit of a twist today. I want to normally we ask who's been up the earliest and we go through the whole thing and work out who it is, and it's not going to move, is it? But I thought we'd do something a bit different this morning. Who put up your hands if you were up earlier than you wanted to be? Let's just do that. Yeah. Okay, look around. Now, let's just take that a little bit further. Who was up at 9 o'clock and didn't want to be up at 9 o'clock? Yeah, look around at those people. There we are. It's fantastic to be together. You would have picked this up, I trust, that we put a little badge on Christmas each year, and this one we put light as the badge to light up Christmas. You noticed that through the advertising and so on, didn't you? Light up Christmas. It's a fantastic image. It's a powerful image. I love it. It's a hugely significant thing, light and its opposite, darkness. And I'm going to illustrate it for you in a moment. And I want you to, you don't know what's going to happen, but I want to illustrate this for you in a really graphic way. What I want you to just hold on to your seats. And if you've got young kids, hold on to them. You'll see why in a moment. On the count of three, watch what happens. Count down with me. 3, 2, 1. Yeah. You know what that's called? Darkness. Exactly right. But then something else is going to happen amongst us. Just hold those kids. Woo! That was too good at carols not to use it again, wasn't it? But here's the deal. I was disappointed in carols. I was disappointed that when the light came, it didn't do enough. So I've got some plans for the light. Burpee, quick. All right. Hey, Mexican wave, come on. All righty, cartwheel. Woo! A handstand push-up. Oh, yeah. Now come over here, quickly, light. You've lost your leg. I just need to read something. Look at that. Now we're going to try something else. Get lost. No, watch this. This is important. Watch this. Do you see what just happened? It went dark again. Turn the lights back on for a moment. How profound was that? Was that helpful? Here we go. There we go. Now, friends, we've chosen that image of light. And we'll come to all of that in a moment. We've chosen that image of light because the Bible uses it. Light is a powerful image all the way through the Bible. And in one of the most reflective accounts, one of the accounts that was most reflective on the person of Jesus, you get light used often in the Gospel of John. I don't know if you're aware, but we actually have 4 accounts of the life of Jesus, 4 of them. Which means if you want to find out the evidences for the person of Jesus, there's a bunch of evidence you can go and look at. They're not the same book. They're separate books. Now, 2 of them spend a considerable amount of time reflecting on the infancy of Jesus. 2 of them don't, and one of those is the one we're looking at this morning. But rather, what it does is it reflects on the significance of that event and uses imagery to convey the significance of that event. And it is hugely helpful to actually see the richness of it because Jesus himself uses the image of light. In John chapter 12, he says, "He is the true light. I am the light of the world," he says. "Whoever comes to me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus says of himself that he is the light. And I want to see, therefore, how that image is used, because you get it in the very first part of John. We had it read for us by Tim. Jesus uses the image. John then introduces his whole account of Jesus' life using the same image of light. And he says these extraordinary words in chapter 1, verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Now, my plan this morning, fairly briefly, is to give us some sense of what that sentence means. And it's my aim is that as you leave this place, you might actually understand more richly, fully, what it means to say that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. I'm going to do it under four headings. I'm going to do it under the heading of metaphor, assumption, gift, choice. Let's go through these briefly together. They only each take 20 minutes, but you've got plenty of time this morning. Let me under metaphor. You know what a metaphor is. You have the literal experience of light and darkness, but you can then use a literal thing to talk about a non-literal thing. It's called a metaphor. We can therefore shed light on something. We can bring things into the light, and we don't mean put a torch on it or bring it into the day, though we might use that language of bring something into the daylight. Now, what are we meaning when we use that kind of imagery, that metaphor of light? What we mean is to bring something into the light, to shed some light on it, is to bring the truth to bear. It's to actually reveal what's there that you couldn't have otherwise seen, to reveal things, to bring truth to things. But, you know, life can also be related to life. Did I just say light can also be related to life? Light is a powerful image of life. Now, it's not literal again. It's the life doesn't mean sometimes, not always, literally life. But you can take, when you take light away from people, it does literally kill people. One of the terrible punishments that humans have used upon each other over the years is solitary confinement. And one of the ways to make solitary confinement worse is to make it dark so there's no light. And you put someone in a context like that where there's no light and life begins to disappear. It actually begins to kill you. It's like being forced to live through winter in England. You just have no light and you begin to get depressed and so on. Have you noticed that when English people come to Australia, they actually use their eyelids for the first time? They're kind of, wow, I know what they're there for now. You know, the whole thing brightens up. But life and light are connected as well. Do you know, my wife, when she walks into a room, she lights it up with life. Is that good? That's your Christmas present today. That's all I could come up with. I didn't know how to wrap it either, but there we are. The image of light is used as a metaphor, and it's used of the person of Jesus, who says in John 12 that I am the light of the world. And when John says here in John 1 verse 9, when he says here that the true light that gives life to all humanity was coming into the world, he's talking about the birth of Jesus, the one who is light, being born into our world, the true light that will give life to all humanity, comes amongst us. And we're told that when that baby was born, that at midnight it was light. And it's as if creation itself was celebrating the birth into our world of the one who is light. At midnight it shone all around. Light's such a powerful image for Jesus. It's one he uses himself, that he is the light of the world. There's the metaphor. Let me give you the second point. There's an assumption, though, in this verse, verse 9 of John 1, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming to the world. It's a metaphor of the person of Jesus who is the light. But there's an assumption here as well in this verse. And the assumption is that the world the true light came into was in darkness. It was in darkness. You see, it says there, verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. When you give light to someone or something, the assumption is it didn't have it before, or it didn't have the true light, or it only had glimmers, but it was in darkness. Now, darkness is itself a reality that can be used metaphorically. It's an image that conveys the idea of not knowing things. I was kept in the dark. It's something that you connect with ignorance and lack of knowledge and lack of truth. Darkness is also the place of evil. It's in the dark that we can actually be ourselves, and what emerges when you're yourself in the dark is not always great. You know, a friend of mine years ago was in a shopping centre when it all went dark. There was a blackout. All the lights went out, all the security features went out, everything went out. And it went out for about 10 minutes. When the lights eventually came on, what do you think most people were found to be doing? Yeah, they were walking out the doors with a great more weight amongst them as they left. I was at the celebration of the Age of Aquarius when the planets all lined up some years ago. Do you remember this, some of you? It was the great age of peace that was being ushered in. It was at Bronte Beach. There was a big celebration. There was thousands of people came down to Bronte Beach, which I just lived across the road there for some time. And the great celebration of the new age of peace and the great new moment and all these cars of people there, I went around the cars to find out one interesting fact, which was they were all locked. They were all locked. Isn't that interesting? Do you know, we have a car park up here. We had to put lights there. Do you know why we had to put lights there? Because of you lot. Because I know what I'm like. I know what you're like. When the dark's there, all kinds of things happen. You know, this part of the Bible is written 2,000 years ago, and it may be obvious to us moderns that it was dark back then. That was a world in darkness. It was brutal. It was racist. It was oppressive. It was warlike. It was dark. We have thought of ourselves as the children of the Enlightenment. The children of the Enlightenment, where we are now so much better. We've progressed. Let me put it to you that we are no different to back then. We are still in the dark. You know, we have made progress. We have seen a great deal happen. We've seen a lot of things move forward in our society, that's for sure. But for all our efforts of making progress and change, wanting to be better, we're running in circles. Do you know that great philosopher, Pink Floyd, they said it best when the sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death. We've been running around in circles as a world. As a community, we're in the dark. And the thought that we don't think we are is actually evidence of how dark we actually are, that we don't realise we're in the dark. You know, there's that terrible joke, and let me do it anyway. I like risks. You've heard of blonde jokes? Really bad things to do, but let's just do it for a moment. There was two women fell down a shaft, and one of them was blonde, and they got to the bottom of the shaft, and it was... a big deep hole, and one of the women said, gee, it's very black down here. And the blonde said, well, I don't know about that. I can't actually see. Yeah, it wasn't that good either, really. But there's a kind of darkness that comes that you don't actually know how dark it actually is. Let me give you a sense of how dark we still are. We've made a great deal of progress over the last bunch of years. But did you know the facts, the stats tell us that with all the progress we've made on women's rights, which we applaud and are great supporters of, with all those progress, did you know that the statistics for women's well-being has diminished over the last 40 years? It's actually gone backwards. Women self-report a greater lack of happiness and a greater dissatisfaction as the last 40 years have happened. Did you know that the incidence of depression and anxiety has gone through the roof in the last 30 years? But I thought we were getting better. And here's the deal. No one knows why it's getting worse. Now, you're sitting there. I think you do know why. You're sitting there thinking, I'm on the right. I'm a conservative. I know exactly what the problem is. But you're sitting there. You're thinking, I'm a left. I'm a liberal, capital liberal. And I know why it's wrong. But you're all different answers. And you actually won't. We don't know what's going on. We just know that we're in a mess. We're stumbling around the dark. We keep changing things, completely oblivious to the unintended consequences. We're like a bunch of people on one of those old sailing ships where, we're all on one side of the boat to keep it leaning this way, but suddenly someone runs to the other side of the boat and everyone follows them and it shifts over this way, and then someone runs back and everyone follows back, and we've just got this world that's tipping back and forward. Economically, we may be seeing some progress. We're in the dark, lurching. We've decided that the next big thing, the best thing to do, is to pursue individual rights. Let's fix that. But we've unleashed a monster of personal rights on our society. We have created identity politics that's tearing our communities apart. But it was meant to be the great liberator. Politically, we're heading into a future where commentators, I read just this week, are uncertain whether democracy can survive. It's an astonishing period of time to be in. The United Nations, do you see what they've been doing in recent times? Who knows what they're about anymore? But they were the great liberator, the great America. Make America great again. But what's happening is America's turning in on itself. Another commentator, that one of the chief reporters for the Australian newspaper, said that we are headed almost certainly to a war between America and China because they've turned in on themselves. The world is going insane. The refugee crisis. Have you been following Europe and what's been happening? We are calling evil good and good evil. We don't even know what good is anymore. We're in the dark. Sexual ethics, gender theory, they are inherently incoherent. One page of the paper, you get a story about how there's nothing inherent in gender, it's just a social construct. We're all really the same, men and women. On the other page of the paper, you'll get a story about someone who's born in a woman's body and they know that they are because of the gender construct. They love pink. Well, I thought that was socially constructed. Well, no, it's actually real. It's all incoherent. Now, that is not to be heartless towards people who are struggling, but it's to say that we're in this darkness. We don't know what we're doing and how to do it. The world has gone insane. It's not just out there, it's in us, our personal lives. You know, we might be sure that everyone else is in the dark. We might be sure that everyone else doesn't know how to do it. But how are we going about making our own relationships work? Christmas time, as we often say, is that moment in the year when it's most evident how we actually don't know how to do things. Our lives are in the dark so that when our families get together, if we still have families that can come together, our families, you have great hopes, but they're always that just never works out quite, and there's that person you wish was there that's not going to be there, that person who is there that you wish wasn't there. You've got this whole complex that's going on in our relationships together. And over it all is the greatest evidence that we're in the dark. The greatest evidence that we're in the dark is death. It stalks us, and we don't know what to do about it. We're in the dark. The world is no less dark now than it was back then, 2,000 years ago. I want to put it to you that we're in the dark because of a spiritual thing. Now, you're in church, you expect us to talk about spiritual things. We're in the dark because of a spiritual thing. This is not just ignorance, it's not just political. It's not just educational. It has a spiritual root, this darkness. We're in the dark because we walked away from God, who is the light. And we've been lost ever since. Light is a metaphor used of Jesus. An assumption in this verse about the state of our world, that we're in the dark. But let me give you thirdly, the verse speaks about a gift. The verse speaks about a gift. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The true light that gives light. Light as a gift that we didn't conjure up, that we didn't create ourselves through our own cleverness, that is given to us, a gift. You know, we walked away from God, but get this, He came to us. When I've had people walk away from me, it's very hard to put aside the hurt and anger and go after them. It's easy to feel like they've walked away, they can deal with it. We walked away from God. But the astonishing thing the Bible brings to us, and the reason we even have the Bible, is that God came to us after we'd walked away from Him. He pursued us in the darkness that we created to bring his light back to us. He came to find us in the dark and bring us back to himself. You know, think with me. Jesus says he is the light, the true light that gives light to everyone. What does it mean to say that Jesus is the light? What does it mean? What is the gift of light that Jesus brings us? I'll give you a bunch of things. Jesus is the light because he brings the truth. He reveals things. He reveals things about our world, that our world is not an accident, it's created. We are made by God and for God. He brings that truth to us. And he says, not just that God made you for himself, he made you for life. This is the truth. You're not your own. You're not to do with whatever you want. You are made by someone you owe. He brings these truths to us. He brings another truth to us that's not always easy to hear, but he says, you've blown it. We thought we were wise, but we've become fools, exchanging the glory of God for things made of wood, stone. These things are hard to admit, but truth is often like that. This Jesus brings the light that turns on the light in our world and says, this is the state of things. This is why it's like it is. But he brings another truth. He brings the truth that the same God that we have walked away from loves us so much that he came into our world in the person of his Son to save us, to bring us light again. He is the true light that gives, as a gift, light to everyone. He's not just another light. He's not just a glimmer. He is the brilliant light of all things by which, when the light comes onto the stage, by which you can see other things, by which in the darkness you have somewhere to go now. But when he walks away, you're back in the dark again. He is the light who can give you light. He can give you an insight into what life's about. He can help you see why we're here, what our purpose is, what's the future, what's the reality, what's the way forward, what's the way to deal with death. You know, some of this is hard to hear, and I've noticed over the years that the truth is difficult to embrace. But I've noticed too that there are two kinds of people I listen to. Though I'm proud and find it difficult to receive the truth, there's two people that I listen to. I'm not going to name their names. I'm going to give you the kind of people they are. There's two people I listen to. One is a person who has authority to speak to me. The other is a person who is good. I listen to people who have a heart for me, who are wholly good in their motives and desires, who love me and want the best for me. I listen to those two kinds of people. And here's the truth, here's the light that shines on Jesus. He comes and brings both of those together. In himself, he is God, the authority, bringing light to our world and the truth of where things are at. Listen to him. But you know, that God who is light, who brings truth to us, doesn't just throw it from a distance. He doesn't just throw words at us from a distance. He comes in his own person to show us how good he is. He is born amongst us with the very intention of dying amongst us. He comes to allow the darkness to overwhelm him for a moment, but then bursts forth in the resurrection, invincible, unable to be conquered by the darkness, to show that light and life will win. And he goes through all of that to show us how much he loves us. Because by his death, he's made it possible for us to come back and be forgiven and restored with him. He is a God who is sheer goodness. Listen to him. Let me give you lastly the choice. What do you do with all of this? I'm going to suggest this morning there are two, or maybe there's three people amongst us. There's the first kind of person There's the person who is actually living in the dark and doesn't know it. There's the person who's living in the dark and doesn't know it. It's possible to be in the dark and it be so dark that you not even see the darkness around you. You know, North Korea. I don't know a great deal about North Korea, but this I pick up. It's possible to have grown up in North Korea under an oppressive regime that doesn't let the light come in so that you don't even know what's out there, what could be, what's possible for a human. To be trapped in the dark. Now that might be you. You are living life thinking you don't need the light. Can I urge you, please, to look around and see actually that the world around us isn't going anywhere. It moves forward here, but it gets lost here, and then it circles back around again, and it's caught up in and your own life that you think's in the light is actually, you don't need light, is actually in the dark. Can I urge you to have a look either there or at Jesus? Because when you look at Jesus, who is the lights switch on in your own life. When you see Jesus for who he is, you actually begin to see myself for who I am. And you realize then how much I needed the light. See the hints of darkness or see Jesus. And if you've not ever done that, I'd urge you this Christmas to pursue looking at the person of Jesus from the Bible, to see the astonishing character that the man brings to us, the wonder, the grace, the goodness, the love that he brings to us, the light that he shines into our world. Begin to explore that to see that we actually are in the dark and need him. There's one kind of person amongst us who's in the dark and doesn't realize it. I'll give you the second kind of person. There are those amongst us who are in the dark and know it. You know it. And the good news, the great news, is that light, the true light, has come into our world. And he can give you light into your life. You will not find a greater gift this Christmas than to come to Jesus and find your light, your life, have the light switched on so that you now know why I'm here. What's the purpose of life? Why? What's the whole point? You can actually get the light switched on and see that. But more than that, you come to Jesus, you'll be reconnected to God, who is the source of light and life. And you will have dealt with that most terrible darkness, death. Born that man no more may die. Light that brings life. You know you're in the dark. Come to him and find light and so life. Let me finish lastly though. There are many amongst us today who are in the light. You have come to Jesus. You know that beautiful, beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace. Listen to these words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. By coming to Jesus, you have been brought to the light. See the gift that you've received. See the beauty, the wonder, the greatness of it. We live now in relationship with God, with the life that floods from him. Be conscious of now living in the light. Be appreciative of the story of amazing love, the light that was given for us. Live in that light and learn to be lights to others, that many more in our community, our society, our country, our world might come to find the light in a darkness, the true light that gives light to all in this world that needs it so desperately. Can I urge you at Christmas to make the most of this? How about I pray and we'll finish? Our great God, we do thank you for not leaving us in the dark, but sending your Son to bring light. We pray, please, that those amongst us who don't yet know this light, that you might give them a deep and real sense of your power, authority, but also your goodness, that they might come to you and find light. We pray for those that have come into this light, that you might humble us and help us appreciate we didn't make this up ourselves. We didn't create the light ourselves. You gave it to us as a gift. And help us live in that light, being lights to others, we ask. In Jesus' great name, amen.